morning. Thank you for coming. It's early. It's the last day. My name is Kay Lovelace, and my co-author is Daniel Bebo, and I want to acknowledge the Deputy State Health Director of North Carolina, Dr. Stephen Klein, and also the local health officers in North Carolina and their teams who participated in the self-assessment. And finally, the first team leaders. North Carolina has public health surveillance teams, and they're regional, and each of these teams organized a day-long data collection meeting. So this is a satellite view of North Carolina. And as you can see, North Carolina has three regions. First of all, the coast, and we have 4,600 miles of estuarian coastline. The coast has been hit by three hurricanes in recent times, Floyd, Fran, and Isabel. We have the middle of the state, which is the Piedmont. There are large cities here, Charlotte about right here, Raleigh, Durham, and Greensboro. And the mountains, which are actually at risk for in-migration in the event of an event in Atlanta or some other large cities, because it's only about 4 hours from Atlanta, or 3 hours in some places in the mountains. Here are some pictures of our beautiful state, which we love. And I just want to say that we have a lot of industry, biotech, chemical, textiles, tobacco, furniture, financial services, at least we used to, information and communication technologies. We also have a low rate of unionization, which is not always good for safety. And we have large industrial poultry and pork farms, and we also have tobacco. The purpose, this study was part of a larger study on public health preparedness in North Carolina, and the purpose of the study was to evaluate all hazards preparedness in North Carolina's 85 local health departments in 2004. CDC was moving from a focus on bioterrorism preparedness to all hazards preparedness, and Dr. Klein wanted to see how ready the health departments were at that time. And today I'm also going to report on data regarding the factors that limited, that health departments thought limited their ability to prepare for all hazards, and examine some qualitative data relative to two issues that they raised, workforce and public health systems issues. We conducted the study in day-long data collection meetings that were organized by the North Carolina Public Health Regional Surveillance Teams in seven sites in North Carolina. And to each meeting, each local health department came and they brought a multidisciplinary team that usually included the health director, the bioterrorism coordinator, the lab director, and the communicable disease nurse. Some of the information on the self-assessment, which I'll talk about later, was answered in advance because certain people couldn't come to the meeting, like county IT personnel. This is the state of North Carolina and its counties. It has 100 counties, and the colors that you see are the first regions. And the first, it's public health regional surveillance teams. This is established by the state health department, and those surveillance teams work to help local counties prepare. And one of the sayings, are there any people from North Carolina here? Okay, welcome. One of the things in North Carolina that you that people say about public health is, if you've seen one health department, you've seen one health department. So they're all very unique. The measures that we included were items considered most important for local preparedness, from the validated local public health preparedness and response capacity inventory, and then items based on what CDC was developing at that time, which were indicators of preparedness in nine functional areas. And these were the 9 functional areas. So we grouped our questionnaire. We grouped our questions by these 9 functional areas. Planning and exercises, surveillance and EPI, 24/7 response capability, health alert network and IT, linkages with healthcare systems, labs, etc. Now, the questionnaire itself was a self-assessment, and in the first part of the questionnaire, we ask about health department context, and that included issues such as budget, personnel, training, planning procedures the health department participated in, connections with other organizations, including informal connections and contracts around preparedness. The next two sections, the detailed questions from the local public health response and capacity inventory, and the preparedness questions based on the CDC indicators, were organized by indicator. So what a health department team who was completing this questionnaire would do was they would finish the health department context information in advance, bring it to the meeting. They would go through the indicators one by one. And so first they would answer the detailed questions on, say, the first indicator, which was planning. Then they would ask the preparedness questions based on the new CDC indicators based on planning. And then we would ask them 3 summary questions. And these were the summary questions. The first one was, for each of the different types of public health disasters, how prepared in the area of whatever the indicator was is your local health department? So we would ask that. So after they finished the planning indicator, they would answer that for planning, and they would answer it for each of the following types of events: BT events, chemical events, natural disasters, radiation emergencies, outbreaks, mass trauma. And then the second question they would ask is, overall, to what extent do you believe your local health department is prepared for a public health disaster in the area of whatever the indicator was? So in this case, I have surveillance and epidemiology. And they answered this on a 10-point scale. So what our thinking was is, after they had answered all the specifics, they could make a judgment call based on those specific items about what their level of preparedness was. And then the third question, which is what I'm going to talk about mostly today, is, to what extent is your level of preparedness limited by personnel, equipment needs, or either intra-organizational or public health systems issues? So in North Carolina, there are 84 local health departments. Some of these are multiple county health departments, and some are single county health departments. There are also some other models that are included, like there's a public health authority, there's one privatized health department, and there's one human services model health department. So as you can see here, health departments felt, more health departments, and this is a percentage over here, they were prepared for natural disasters than for any other type of event. And we believe this is because North Carolina had faced so many hurricanes and had the state had taken a lot of action to prepare North Carolina for hurricanes. Okay, now this is how prepared health departments considered themselves based on the different indicators. And as you can see, over 60% of the health departments said they were prepared for risk and crisis communications, slightly over 60% for 24/7 response capability, 60% for surveillance, about 60% for planning, and on. So as you, the other thing to look at here is the area that health departments felt they were least prepared in was mass interventions. And this was mass interventions and strategic national stockpile deployments. Okay. This slide shows what they thought their major issues were in terms of the limitations on preparedness. And you can see over 50% said that personnel was a major limitation in achieving preparedness. About 18% said the public health system was a limit in achieving preparedness. 15% said equipment, and maybe about 12% said the organization itself was a limitation in achieving preparedness. But the workforce was the biggest issue. And you can see that workforce was more of a problem for mass interventions, achieving the indicator workforce capacity, planning, EPI, 24/7 response, and less of a problem for the Health Alert Network, which is really a technology that's in place throughout the state already. Okay, so when we look further at the personnel limitations, this is what we found. 90% of the health departments did not have an epidemiologist, except for access throughout the first team. And if you look at public health workforce statistics overall, only 5% of the workforce in governmental public health is filled by epidemiologists. So this is not unusual. Now, what I do want to say is all of the health departments had access to an epidemiologist through the first team. 65% did not have an FTE devoted solely to bioterrorism or other preparedness issues. And 47% of the health departments did not have a preparedness coordinator on the management team. Now, we spent a lot of time talking with the health directors and asking them what happened and why was this happening. This was 3 years into the preparedness funding at this time. And one of the consistent things that we learned is in North Carolina, health departments typically have to have positions established through the Board of Health and County Commissioners. So the County Commissioners have to approve. And the County Commissioners were worried that the funding for the preparedness coordinator was not certain and it would not last. I see some nods in the back. So a lot of health departments had a lot of trouble getting their county commissioners to approve of a position for a preparedness coordinator. Health departments had difficulties recruiting qualified individuals if they could get a position established. And they had difficulty with training for biological, chemical, and mass casualty events. Now, there were a couple of other issues that I want to mention here. In health departments where bioterrorism coordinators or preparedness coordinators were a partial FTE, that means they were doing other jobs as well, the health departments had difficulty releasing staff for training because they had other things that they had to accomplish. And the health directors talked a lot about the challenge that we face is training and coordinating a large staff to be prepared for disasters while continuing to serve ongoing public health needs. So the constant tension between what is our basic business and is preparedness added onto this. Okay. Now, public health systems limitations, if you remember, were less of an issue for health departments than other issues than personnel. This slide shows the percent of health departments stating that systems issues were major limitations for specific indicators. So primarily with the healthcare system, mass interventions, EPI, workforce capacity lab. And here's what the health director said. So coordination and collaboration with other county agencies is difficult. We have good working relationships. And this was the case in many, many counties. But we just can't seem to get on the same page. And there's a lot that's been written about the differences in cultures between public health and other functions like emergency management. And I think this is part of what they were speaking to. There is a lack of defined agency roles for different types of disasters and turf issues around that. So who's going to be in charge in a chemical disaster? Who's going to be in charge in a natural disaster, et cetera? At that point, other county emergency agencies were still slow to recognize the public health role in disaster response. They also talked about keeping local government officials educated and focused on the importance of the work, and especially in the context of a lot of people having apathy, especially in regard to bioterrorism preparedness, because many people really don't believe that it's many governmental officials outside of public health did not see it as an issue. And finally, fitting all the plans together, and we've heard a lot about that, you know, the plans from different agencies and the plans at the local level, the state level, and the federal level, and poor coordination with hospitals. As you can see, equipment limitations were not so much of a problem, although over a fifth of the health, about a quarter of the health department said equipment was an issue for healthcare systems. And intra-organizational limitations or things about their own health department was not so much of a problem, except for mass interventions and healthcare systems. So in summary, since these data were collected, North Carolina has been able to address many of the training issues. Personnel still remains an issue, as it does in all of public health. And as we all know, public health is not fully funded. And when there's a disaster, politicians act like it's fully funded and expect public health to be able to do everything. It is really clear that it is so important in our in the years coming up that we select an administrator who is a president who is supportive of public health. So I urge you to vote. And finally, it's really important for organizations to continue to plan and exercise. And I think this will facilitate interagency collaboration. It will help to bridge the cultural differences between public health and other organizations, and it will help communities to come together to be prepared in the event of a disaster. So can I take one question? One question or two questions? Yes. Some of the counties do, because they're on they're in counties with military bases. So Fayetteville, Fort Bragg, Cherry Point, and we have data on that, but I didn't report it here. I'm sorry, I can't.
Assets.
I don't have the data. His question was there access to military equipment in the event of a disaster? And I'm certain there probably was, but I don't have the data in front of me now, so I can't answer your question. I'm really sorry. Yes?
I was wondering if there are differences between the coastal people and the mountaineers, because their responses might be different, thinking of the mountain as recipients of mass
evacuation, yeah. Yeah, my understanding is that, and you may be able to help me back here, but the state has moved more to recognizing that different locations are going to be more likely to have to address different types of disasters.
There's some excellent work that's being done by NLRC through Michael Meek and all of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Across political jurisdictions and plan for
Yeah. Okay.
One more question.
One more?
I'm from California. I'm a local health officer, and I actually don't have a tribal organization except for an Indian Health Service Clinic in my county, but other counties have had trouble working with Native American organizations. Do you have any better luck just over this sovereignty issue?
The question was, do we have better luck in North Carolina working with tribal organizations? Is that right? I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. I don't know the answer to that. Thank you very much.
I think before we move to the next presenter, let me make some comments regarding this issue of preparedness. I'm with the City of Chicago Office of Public Health Preparedness. Part of my responsibility is providing medical planning for public health issues. Some of the things you just raised, the health officers, that's one of the requirements by CDC. As you all know, Chicago is one of the four cities that was funded directly with the other 50 states and territories. The issue of preparedness is very tricky when it comes to manpower. Outside those four cities, how the BT money is expended each year differs from state to state. And where the bottom line, according to CDC guideline, is that the state should be able to mobilize. There are guidelines of what needs to be done. And making that collaboration with all the different jurisdictions and entity, it's a requirement of the grant. But many times, because as she alluded to, we are all at different pages at different times, it is very difficult, and the priorities in most communities are very different. It is very difficult to bring people to the table at the same time. What we have done in Chicago is that Chicago is inside Cook County, and the bulk of the population of Cook County is in the city of Chicago. Outside the city, there are about 40, 50 municipalities within Cook County, small subdivisions being an entity of their own, and they all have a mayor, a fire department chief, MS. It is very difficult to bring all those little entities together and expect them to have the same capacity. So what we've done in Chicago is we have a full FTE responsible for coordinating, for bringing all those entities together. And we, each month, want reportable surveillance. This is how we're going to do surveillance if things happen. Because we know disease doesn't know the difference between Chicago and the next community. So we invested part of our own resources into developing that network. How are we going to, what are they, so that we have the same, we all speak the same language, because of the human capacity that is lacking in most of the communities. The other thing, and because our chief of police found the way the health department was arranging stuff to respond, so the EMS and the fire did the same thing. And so we now have in Northern Illinois a collaboration of all entities almost coming together every month to try to flush out things. So that's one way we have gone to, because if they are not at the table together, it is always very difficult during the time of response. So that's the, so I don't use, but it's a very more elaborate and time-consuming, because many people do not, as you alluded to, understand why, what is the rationale for doing this. It is money spent, there are other pressing issues that needs to be addressed, and they seem not to understand why it is needed to spend so much time at this time. Next presenter is Mr. Thomas Becklow.